Elaine Rosen and Andy Weiss interviewing Kitty Rutenberg on November 11, 1985, to the Oral History Project of the Pittsburgh Section of National Council of Jewish Women. Last time, Kitty, we stopped the interview when we were discussing your contribution to the immigration of the Hungarian immigrants from around 1956, back to 1956.
I can say two specific things about that experience. First, I felt I was eminently qualified. Secondly, I felt that it was a real contribution to the community or to the agency, especially to the agency being the Jewish Children's Family and Children's Service, who suddenly had on their hands a large group and an ongoing group coming constantly for over a year and a half or two of Hungarian refugees, most of them Jewish, who came to this community as they have been sent by certain, I don't know, Ohio or somebody, to various other places in the country to be resettled. There was a friend of mine, another woman, who was also interpreting. That was the main job, as it was classified, but I would say, and I must admit that I did get into it a little more deeper than just interpreting. Anyway, this friend of mine was the owner of a group, and therefore I did most of the hard running around and the physical labor of schlepping them around and running errands for them and so on and so forth. I also participated in each and every one of the sessions with the social workers, because there was no way the two could have been in any way in any rapport, because there was no Yiddish as a common language between them, the social worker and the client. So therefore, then, there was a definite need for
me. Have any of them remained in Pittsburgh, or?
There are still maybe half a dozen or eight families who are hanging on. There was a good bit of moving about among them, from one system to another, depending on what kind of jobs they would get.
So they came out as a result of the Russian invasion?
The revolt in 56 against the Russians, the Hungarian revolt against the Russians.
Most of them were Jewish. Did they have problems getting out? Like, would you have today?
Well, that's simply, or not simply, rather complicatedly, a question of being refugees, crossing a border illegally and being shot at. And,
so these were very courageous people.
That's right. Adventurous, courageous. Maybe it's even a bit idealistic. What else can I say about them?
How long a period were you involved in this?
About 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Because while they were no longer actual cases for the agency after 6 months or a year, some of their problems hung on with them, and out of the interest or a sense of obligation, I think, I kept on being their resource person. After all, they didn't learn English overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they had personal problems, universal problems, the way I functioned as a resource person. But all in all, it was a very meaningful part of my
career. As I look about the apartments, I have to mention again that I see all these wonderful paintings. Do you have anything that you'd really like to tell us about this phase of collecting that you were in?
Well, it's the latest and current stage and phase of our lives. And please understand I use the pronoun singular or plural interchangeably, but where I function strictly on my own, I have pointed out and be pointed out where any of my so-called achievements are on my own, not because of Harold or his assistant. But art certainly is something we have done all along as a team. I did talk about this earlier, and I will enlarge on the subject by saying that the whole experience of collecting, especially when it became a serious matter and an expensive compassionate habit, was and continues to be a very exciting stage and phase of our lives. It opened up so many windows to other windows than we had before, to new experiences, new people, and new people, experiences of people whose lives we would never have learned about. Artists are a strange lot, but they're also human, and they have experiences, you know, common and mutual with all our own. We did become very friendly with at least a half a dozen artists of renown. Most of them are Israeli. There is one, Chaim Gross, an American artist, with whom we are in deep friendship. When I say that, it means that we may not see them as often as some of our Pittsburgh or Jerusalem friends when we are at either location. But we are invited and come and go to each other's milestones and exchange telephone calls and visits and so on. Sometimes we go out of our way. In Jerusalem and anywhere in Israel, there were bar mitzvahs and some very tender moments. For instance, after the death of Bezem's son, who was a victim of a terrorist attack on Kikar Tzion. And we were with him constantly for quite a period of time, as others were around him. But we felt we were as close to him and he was pleased to have us be with him. Then, of course, was this, I said, Bar Mitzvah's wedding and other social moments of social intercourse. All of them very agreeable and fun. Now, times when we were together on a professional level, let's say, whenever we would attend an opening or a special, like the Venice Biennale, where we went, we might have gone to Venice anyway, but it was time to attend, timing wise, to attend the opening, because our painting by Ardon, not hanging here, Sunset, is one of only a few that he selected to be exhibited in that show. He was Israel, the Israeli selected for exhibition at that time. Other art events like retrospectives and so on, when we have our own painting on loan by the artist who's featured, is always a moment of something different, and it gives me a high, and very enjoyable. The Guggenheim retrospective again was much fun. Our involvement with the Israel Museum is part of our general art involvement. Year after year we attend in May. We're both independently, separately, on the international board of the museum. As such, we participate in all sorts of smashing affairs, how else would I describe them? Once in a lifetime affairs that never get duplicated in their program of activity. To impress, to attract and impress and hold friends and patrons for the museum. This last time, I don't know that I saw anything special happening, but some other times, many years earlier, we had been introduced to them, got to know a little bit in a more formal way, Baron Edmund Rothschild, Rothschild, Rothschild. From one time to the next, he was so friendly and uncomplicated in his manner that it was really pleasant to think that he would remember anybody, at least of all us. But here's a picture showing Harold, myself, and the man when we were received at the President's House in Jerusalem. Around our
so this is your
menorah. Yeah, this is the Gantt menorah, the full-size one we have here in Maquette.
Mm-hmm.
This is over a meter high and a meter wide. It is still in the President's House at another location. But any time a friend of mine comes to Jerusalem, I am privileged to show that person the art, the reception room where all the art is, and some of the insides of the President's House. So keep that in mind.
Then you've been to family celebration with a gun, right?
Yes, we gave a birthday party for him here in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
it was 63 years old.
That's right.
And soon after that, his wife died. Yes.
Oh, my. She died suddenly. She had a heart attack.
Yes.
Oh.
Once we were at his home in Paris, on Erev Shabbat, he was dressed in white. That was before all this beard and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very proper, conventional, traditional Friday evening.
Does he keep kosher in the home, or is he?
That I don't know, but it was.
What about outside?
He had all the prayers and so on. Outside, probably not. In the home, I suspect he does. The other artists we know are not especially. Observing, no, but they are very Jewish, and such terms can be interpreted or described in many ways. I think he said Dati religious or low Dati, not religious, but that's not my definition of how one is who observes. I like the word observing, more or less, in our own degrees.
And everybody does it in their own way.
That's right. There are over 100 pieces in Jerusalem, including a few pieces of sculpture. Here we haven't counted yet. My son Eddie is trying to talk me into a definitive. Cataloging and inventory of all the art. And I think we will include all the things we have given away, because I still feel proprietary interest in all the better things that we have given away. And that seems to be an interesting side to our art history. A few years after we already had established a fairly respectable collection, we began to think about how to share it with others. That may sound poor to you, but loaning pieces to exhibitions and allowing others, groups and so forth, to come to your home to see the art and things like that are a form of sharing as well. But then the challenge of giving away something were just too great to resist. So you see, we never sold anything. We never sold any pieces out of our collection. We have given away to family, children, once we had an art auction at Temple Sinai that netted $9,500. But we have never sold a piece. Now, contrary to selling a piece, what does a collector do to unload some no longer desirable pieces? And please do not confuse desirable or not desirable with its intrinsic value. It may not suit your purpose anymore, mm-hmm. but it may be a godsend to someone else. So, or you want to upgrade, or whatever your reason for wanting to pass on. So we have our favorite institutions. There are a couple in Jerusalem where we have given pieces. The Israel Museum is one steady client or recipient. We have even given, last year we have maybe an answer, but major pieces given as future requests or something we call it. Promise gifts. We had given away our big double sided account to Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh. We had a very interesting experience with the UJS in Pittsburgh over quite a large group of work. Most recently it was the business school, the Graduate School of Business at the University of Pittsburgh, who accepted gladly and featured very prominently our sub-collection of about 25 pieces. In fact, there we were setting an example, and a big company. The gifts we give are personal, out of our pockets, so to speak. But after our gift to the Graduate School of Business, they were able to attract the gas company, Consolidated Gas and Oil Service. Just a couple of weeks ago, they had a very nice reception and acceptance ceremony for a large gift from the Consolidated Company. So we feel that even there we made our mark and set an example. Of our 25 pieces there, the five large pieces, which form one subject matter, of a gun, they're all hanging very prominently on the ground floor, the foyer, as you go in, everybody passes by them. It is really an eye-catcher. I feel kind of...
Are those the ones that Harold had in his office?
Yes,
no,
also
I
they were at 5100.
Uh-huh.
Incidentally, the subject is very Jewish. The changing images there, menorah and high and Hanukkah, and so on. And those who don't care are not offended, and the ones that do know what it's all about get a lot of pleasure out of it. In many cases, some people are. And that's that. What else about the acquisition? We shall continue to do that, because once eventually we'll go to those institutions who, in the meantime, send us a message or let us know that they are interested, or we can come to some kind of a meeting of mind as to their receiving and accepting certain works of art. By the time it is a question of a bequest then there will be still some pieces left to dispose of. The ones we're living with, I personally have a feeling of, like my children, I hate to part with them.
Which one? Do you have a particular favorite?
No, I have particular favorites of each artist.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes one piece or one artist seems to come forward in my mind and feel more at ease with it and concentrate on viewing it. Or I sometimes rearrange, but not too basically.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough to for a change of pace.
Yeah,
so
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm
going to ask you, do you have any regrets sometimes when you've given something to an institution? You know exactly what I'm getting at. Do you ever have...
Well, yes, there have been some very depressing or disenchanting moments in this whole part of the collecting, but I think all collectors experience something like this. And it has to do with the work of art enthusiastically accepted or even sought after and then accepted. And then when you go to view it in their exhibition or seeing it handled or exhibited in their permanent collection, you have a feeling that they really don't understand or appreciate it because they don't do justice to the display. Or it happens that this too happens to many collectors, that a piece is, a work of art is given, accepted, and then is never shown in a museum. You have to have a larger viewpoint on this, not to get terribly insulted or depressed about it, or you would quit either collecting or giving away. And you know, the process really has to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And the average comes out very well. And if there is, excuse me, let me finish with a PS. If there are any disappointments, they are more than made up for by the extreme pleasure one derives from being given so much vote, or being so or being well regarded by those who receive museums and people in the art world and artists. And you get that feedback. It makes all the trauma of the original heartache of collecting, having to make decisions in what you buy and all that, right through the time that you give away something and it's not adequately appreciated. It makes all that certainly less problematical. It comes out quite well in the end.
Are you still actively collecting? Are you seeking to upgrade or to improve the collection now?
No, a few years ago, a couple of years ago, we came to a certain, we think, a hard plateau. We felt that everything we own that we show is of museum or near museum quality. Then there are other things that we have that may not be the best of the lot, but satisfy a certain desire for ownership or gives us pleasure that we know it may not be the best drawing in the world or even in that category, but we hold on to it, so when the children want it, they can have it. Before the big giveaway. And as soon as the deacquisitioning started, while we were still buying some, we no longer buy any major pieces. We buy now only such occasional items that it just seems impossible to resist. Yeah.
Do the artists let you know when something's coming up? I assume there must be lists. Galleries have lists of
customers.
Yes,
and
they
are on everybody's
list. You're alerted.
For shows, exhibitions, and so on. And the artists, those with whom we have an ongoing friendship or relationship with, of course we know all the time that they're working on something new.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have broken out of their bounds and do something differently so that we can catch up with their latest kind of work.
Well, I think maybe it would be a good time to talk about your children now.
Well, it's a good bit that I have said before, even in connection with art, their interest in art.
Well, more or less what they do, where they are at this stage in their life.
All right, now after three of the four are on their second careers. And at the present, someone answer the phone. I'll call back. Our oldest.
May I take a message?
Our oldest was professor
Jerry,
of political science.
Hi, I'm fast. I'm glad
to
Our oldest
is a PhD from New York University in political science. and he taught for a number of years.
Yes.
He was a little bit enchanted.
From
students.
Okay.
From a moment in history when only a black woman could have gotten. Overridden by a black woman.
Where the affirmative action.
All right. In any case, he did want to change and went to law school. He's a lawyer with the lawyer for the chairman of the National Labor Relations.
And what's his name?
Charles. James, Jimmy, the second one, who had all those qualities or skills in mathematics, language, music. He's still practicing his mathematics in a way. He is independent, no longer employed by IBM for many years now. His own business of in telecommunications. He does something like reconfigurate telephone system of the large companies, where they can save millions of dollars on a program that he can conceive of and execute for them. The third son, 5 years younger than Jimmy, became a rabbi, was ordained by the Union College, and PhD there as well. Incidentally, Jimmy was a master's degree from Stanford. Back to Eddie. After two years formally as a rabbi in a conservative synagogue in Nashville, he didn't want to. He wished to leave the rabbinate. Feeling on his part had been growing for several years.
Was it disenchantment with having too many bosses?
That was sort of a small part of it. He became, as years went on in Cincinnati, he became more and more observing.
Mm-hmm.
Observant.
Observant.
Nearly Orthodox, but very modern kind of Orthodox. And in fact, in Cincinnati, he was a part-time rabbi of a group, a synagogue, something like the young people here, while he was getting his PhD. But then he went on to Nashville to really do what he was ordained to do, but he had in mind really he needed to spend 5 years now already in Harold's business, and he's now become the president's assistant, and he will continue in the business world. He said he didn't want to make a living on his religion.
My daughter, yes, the three boys are married to very nice girls, I assume. Indeed, very nice. They fit well, and each has a profession.
The oldest, Charlie's wife, went to medical school. Took her a lot longer than Charlie's law school, and has been a psychiatrist now working in St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington.
Jimmy's wife?
Jimmy's wife is a special education reading specialist or something like that, and works part-time. And Eddie's wife started a business here in Pittsburgh, the Vault. It's your Vault security business downtown. Our daughter is a Brandeis girl, where she met her future husband. She went on to medical school and she became a social worker, a master's degree from Columbia, and worked for 3 years while he was still in medical school. And then they moved to Harrisburg, where he's a radiologist in a large hospital. And she kept on having children. Now she has three adorable children and is leaving her profession in abeyance for the moment. In the meantime, she got herself two more bachelor's degrees in computers and accountants, and this and that, accountancy. Oh, yes, she did work for the Jewish community as an accountant for a while, and now she's trying to be the best volunteer in town.
So you've had a lot of knockers for each
other. Yes, indeed. And there are more years to come. And that's what I'm really interested in, the years to come.
I hate to begin that at the end of this we're pretty near the end, so we'll start that on the other side. But wait, do we have any time left on this page?
About 2 seconds.
All right, so we'll go and then start.